From India's largest newsroom, I'm Meenal Bagheel, and this is the Times of India podcast.
The Chinese used to be quite far away from the border. When I visited the place the first time in 1976-77, and we lived with people who were from the ITBP post in Chushul, the commander there said he had never seen a Chinese man. He'd been there 3 years, he had never seen a Chinese. That was the situation at that time. And then steadily things have changed. And now, of course, we were eyeball to eyeball through most of 2020. Then we agreed on a withdrawal in Pangong. So Kailash Range, we pulled back. So that whole area now has been militarized, whether you like it or not. And the Chinese have built facilities much closer. For us, it's a big problem because of the Himalayas. When the 200 kilometers of Himalayas require several days to reach the border. Whereas for the Chinese, they can do it in a couple of hours because they're on a flat plateau of Tibet with excellent highways, you see. So there is an asymmetry there, of sorts out there, which we have to worry about. And what we saw last year was only just one phase of that. What is their goal? We don't know. Even an incursion by half a kilometer can become a crisis. So you don't need to have a big clash or whatever it is. You just come in half a kilometer, put up a camp out there, and that's a crisis.
That's Manoj Joshi, defense expert and distinguished fellow at the Observer Research Foundation, talking about how the situation along India's border with China in Ladakh has changed over the decades. It's been nearly 2 years since the clash between Indian and Chinese troops along the Galwan River Valley, which left 20 Indian soldiers and over 40 Chinese soldiers dead. However, in spite of constant talks between the two countries' armies, the temperature along the mountainous border shows little sign of thaw. Both sides continue to have troops stationed along one of the most inhospitable borders in the world. On the 4th of January, the Times of India reported that China had built a bridge on its own side of the Pangong Lake in eastern Ladakh. China has also built additional roads and helipads in the region, which was one of the flashpoints between the two nations in 2020. The Chinese moves are believed to be in response to India's occupation of strategic locations in the region at the height of the dispute. This military infrastructure is cited as a preparation to counter any Indian actions in the area. Manoj Joshi, who has been closely tracking these developments in the region, says he isn't exactly surprised by the turn of events. What he finds more worrying is the fact that both nations are escalating resources along the border, which means a future clash in the region could be much bigger in nature. In this interview, he analyzes what months of talks have achieved, why China is keeping India on its toes, and how much can New Delhi respond to provocations by Beijing?
We now have reports of China building a bridge across the Pangong So Lake. How should India read into this?
It's not a particularly difficult bridge to make. It's on the narrowest part of the lake, maybe 2 kilometers or so across. They're doing a lot of infrastructure in that area. After the Indians side occupied the Kailash Range, a lot of their roads and facilities became visible. They felt that these were vulnerable. So they have been building alternate kind of infrastructure. And I suspect, I think the bridge is more by way of being able to reinforce their positions very quickly. So I think it makes eminent sense from their point of view. Both sides, India and China are reinforcing their infrastructure in the region. The thing is that the buildup itself is worrying, because when you build up military capacity, you have a line of actual control which is not an international boundary, so there is always a potential. There's always a potential for tension, there's always a potential for a clash. And so the more you build up, the more forces you place there, the greater are the chances that that could happen.
We've also had that recent issue where China renamed a set of places in Arunachal Pradesh. How do you read into something like that, and how serious an issue is that?
Those are kind of, you know, mind games in a sense, because we are firmly in control of Arunachal Pradesh. And the Chinese have this habit, I would say, of renaming places the as a means of controlling them. For example, in 2017, when we had this Doklam crisis, there was the Mount Gipmochi, where the border is supposed to start from as per the 1890 treaty. I had gone to China, and then they called it something else, Mi Mu Ma Zhen. So I said, look, when did this name Mi Mu Ma Zhen come in? And that guy kind of smiled at me. So this is a technique of psychological warfare. And I don't think we should worry too much about it. They can rename for all they care, as long as we are in firm control of the place. The problem is that it gets to be a problem when you are trying to resolve the boundary issue. Then you've got to have some common understanding.
Since 2020, we've had range talks that have been going on and on and on. And how far do you see these talks having gone in terms of resolving these issues?
See, we know that we had a pullback in Pangong. Both sides have pulled back. In Galwan, both sides have pulled back 1.5 kilometers each. But then there are other areas which are important. Charding Nala, which is near Demchok, where they block our patrols from coming. Then the Kugrang River Valley, which is where this Gogra and this PP-15, PP-17, they lie. So they still block us from patrolling part of the Kugrang River Valley. That's north of Pangong So. And then the most serious thing is in the Depsang Plains, where at the so-called Y Junction, they have blocked us from patrolling PP-10, 11, 12, 13. We can't access because they have put a blockade. Now the talks, the 13th round, if you recollect, it was not successful, and nothing much was achieved. The government of India has not talked about Depsang at all. They've completely fudged the issue. The minister's statement, Rajnath Singh's statement in Parliament last year, didn't mention Depsang. And Depsang is the most serious. We are being denied from patrolling an area about 900 square kilometers, which we consider our side of the line of action control. And now I'm curious as to whether the government sees this as a fait accompli or not, whether the government is quietly willing to concede this to the Chinese. And why I'm saying this is that because amongst the places where sweets were exchanged on New Year Day was this blockade point in Depsang. I'm quite struck by the fact that this is supposed to be a continuing area of tension, and yet you were exchanging sweets there. So I really don't know what that means.
Is this like a heightening of tensions? Is it a lowering, or is it just like an adjustment between the two?
As long as the border is unsettled, you can't say there's any lowering of tension. So there is a buildup. There is a buildup, on significant buildup on both sides. Both sides have built up forces, and they are close to the border. So my issue, the point is that what you have to worry about is capabilities. And because intentions, you don't know. Intentions can change, very quickly. So it's the capabilities you have to worry about, and capabilities are there. And the problem is that because this border is completely unsettled and unrecognized, disputed, you can stir up trouble at any point. And it's not clear whether the Chinese are willing to settle the border dispute, because they find it as a convenient way of keeping India off balance. You see, every now and then you stir up some trouble somewhere, and because it's expensive for us, everything has to be shipped to that region, That 6 months of the year the route is closed, the fuel supplies, everything moves by truck to that region. And the thing is that the strategic position in Depsang as well as in the Kugrang River Valley, it doesn't really suit us. It's adverse for us. So the Chinese are in a better position out there. So the whole point is that we are having to incur this expenditure. More forces have gone, and it's almost doubled the forces that have gone to the place. And it was already expensive, and already under this government, defense expenditures have been declining as a proportion of GDP. Though the government kind of does a lot of chest thumping, the reality is that defense expenditures have been declining as a percentage of GDP. And then if you are now forced to reinforce right across the line of actual control, what is also going to happen is that you will have that much less money to invest, let us say, in your Navy or in your Air Force or the other kind of services that you have, if you have to put in all your money into the army.
Basically, no respite for India anytime soon.
There will be no respite. That much you can be sure. And then, of course, as you know, that the gap in the comprehensive national power of India and China has been widening more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And that the gap in the military capacity has also been widening, because the Chinese are benchmarking their military with the United States.
Do you think India could have handled this a little differently?
When we realized this in May of 2020, that something like this happened. So we had the choice to escalate. We could have sharply escalated and gone and attacked the Chinese. The problem for the government of the day is that what if it fails? What if it doesn't work out? What if there's a disaster? So you could say that, look, you guys have come in here and this thing, I don't care, no negotiate, I am get out. If you don't get out in 2 weeks, I'm escalating. But if you didn't take the choice, you can call it prudence or whatever it is. So the result is you are left with this current situation. The same thing with the Chinese in the Kailash Range. When we occupied the Kailash Range, they could have also escalated. They were quite rattled by that move. But they didn't escalate. So they said that they probably felt that this controlled situation serves their interests better. In Depsang, they're occupying what they are occupying. You see, Depsang, they're standing firm. And Depsang is the key area for them. It's only from February 2020 that we have been blocked from that area. So there seems to be, I think, part of the government of India would just like to forget about it. You see, this is an area where there's nothing. There's no economic value. So I think one part of the government of India probably just simply wants everyone to forget that and settle and ignore the issue. Now, the question is, what is it that the Chinese want? This is what we don't know. Do they have in mind a particular configuration of the line of actual control? Is that an issue? Do they have, or as I said, they just want an unsettled situation where they can keep us, guessing and keep us off balance all the time? Or is it that they want the Indians to acknowledge that the Chinese are the bigger power, and that our conduct in international relations will take into account Chinese sensitivities, which of course means relations with the United States and the Quad.
But a lot of the other nations around India are also getting caught in this pull of China and India, where we are sort of facing off with the Chinese in, say, Bhutan, in Nepal, in other places. How much of a concern is that for India?
We go back to the question of our status in the South Asian region. We believe that our size and our economy confers us primacy in the region. The Chinese refuse to accept it. So the point is that the Chinese say that India is just another one of the nations of South Asia. See, our economic weakness and our systemic weakness, what happens is, that's besides the fact that we've handled some of the things badly. You know, the blockade on Nepal, you know, 2018, all that, you know, that is one thing. The point is that if we had the economic and political wherewithal, we should be able to have good ties with all the countries, regardless of who runs those countries. But the reality is that we are totally dependent on who runs the countries. We should be beyond that, meaning our primacy should be such that who leads the country should be of no consequence. But unfortunately, we have not been able to create that. And we tend to run away from that.
Actually, with Pakistan, there is a sort of lull, right? In terms of the border situation, at least, there seems to be a sort of that ceasefire that came about. It seems to have largely kind of held together, right?
But the fact of the matter is that the Pakistanis still send terrorists across. Okay? There's nothing that you have done has been able to dissuade them. And so again, your option is to escalate. But again, you don't have the military wherewithal. For even the Chinese, the same problem. You escalate and things don't go well for you. It reflects on your leadership. The same thing happens here, meaning we escalate, you know, and things don't go well. So the Chinese, by their preemptive action, they've actually occupied what they wanted to, from what I can make out of the border. And now the choice is for us. What do we do? And we don't seem to have a clear idea as to what we can do.
Today's episode is produced by Jairad Singh, Arun George, and Sunay Marathe. For a daily spotlight on people, ideas, and stories that matter, subscribe to us. We are available on TOI Plus, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and all other platforms of your choice. For any news tips, reach us at TOIPodcast@timesinternet.in.